Hello, everybody. No, I'm not going to do it that way. That's weird. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valadverdi. We promised you a quick turnaround. Here we are. We're making up for lost time. It's the NFC West, the division for Robbie Chosen Anderson. Folks, where are we putting Robbie Anderson in our ranks? Wide receiver one? He's with the Niners now.
Yeah, Brock Purdy's deep arm. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's do it.
Wide receiver 151.
151.
That is very disrespectful to DeAndre Carter. All right, Mike,
you're
being
very disrespectful to DeAndre Carter.
No,
in fact,
I would never disrespect DeAndre Carter. Sacramento Hornets legend, stingers up, baby. No, nobody's talking. I'm trying to open my water bottle. I said, Mike, how are you?
Oh, I didn't even hear you. I'm doing all right. Giants are winning. Three more outs, and they get to claim another victory. So that'd be cool. But yeah, doing pretty good, except for Rodriguez just walked McCutcheon.
No!
Start the inning, so.
No, not ridiculous, Randy.
Oh boy.
Walker, how are you?
I'm fine. The Tigers won, so that's good. Ready to talk about the hated, despised Rams.
The same old sorry-ass Rams is what they're called.
Well, that's what you call them.
No, that's what all 49ers fans call them. The
I'm
same
not a
49ers old sorry
fan.
Ass rant. You're not?
No.
This is news to me. Wow. All you talk about is how much you love Brock Purdy. Late at night, I get these texts from Walker, and Walker's like, I actually love the Flexi Flex. It's great. It doesn't annoy me at all.
You gotta show your work here, buddy.
I can make fake texts. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, and I'm sure that they would look very fake.
Look, this doesn't have to stand up in court, okay? Not like your Tyler Shuck tweets or texts that you send me.
I don't remember sending you those either, to be honest.
You
with
love
you.
Tyler Shuck. We can play back the audio. Tyler Shuck is a priority for you. He's your QB1.
Priority.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right, we're going to talk about the NFC West today. We are talking, each of us have one team. We have decided to divide up the Seahawks, and we are punting Seahawks tight end this week. So the reason we're punting that is you have basically Elijah Arroyo is like a deeper than the blob upside stab play in like best ball leagues. There's your tight end rundown for the Seattle Seahawks. There's not a whole lot there.
But Joe, what about AJ Barner?
AJ Barner had like 30 targets and like 6 touchdowns last year. AJ Barner, more like AJ Barnage. Folks, remember Gary Barnage?
Gary Barnage.
Nice. That was pretty good.
All right. Let's get into it. So if you've been listening to our previews, you know, I usually have a long written out thing for all the teams. I put it together for the Niners, but one, they're my team. Okay. I have Niners memorabilia. Here's a Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead. Here's I have nothing else within reach. This is crazy. Anyways, a Jimmy Garoppolo head. I also have a George Kittle bobblehead as well. So they stand on top of each other. I have a notebook with that my dear wife got me for Christmas that has literally every single 49ers article ever written in the New York Times. So it's like. I have Niner stuff, but here's the problem. There's so much up in the air with this team and there's so much emotion that I feel like I'm just going to fly off of my written script anyway. So I wrote a script and I'll try to stick to it, but I'm probably going to get really verklempt because there's a lot going on with this team that I don't know and that nobody knows. Injuries, guys coming back from injuries, Robbie Anderson taking over as the wide receiver one. There's a lot here going on. So I just want to get right into it. So we begin. We're rounding down our previews, and that means I get to do the preview that I've been dreading this whole time. I struggle with balancing being too homerish and not homerish enough whenever I talk about the 49ers. So let's just dive in. They lost a ton of players this offseason with Deebo Samuel, Jordan Mason, Aaron Bakes, Jalen Moore, and a bevy of defenders moving on to new squads. Luckily, they seemingly have Christian McCaffrey back at full bore, and they are fully set at wide receiver. After all, they have Jacob Cowing in camp. Oh, so let's get into the offense. Let's start with the quarterbacks. We got QB1, Brock Purdy. Who remembers who QB2 is?
It's
Mac Jones, baby.
McCorkle, yeah. Baby. McCorkle Jones. QB3 is Nepo
Kyle
baby.
Kyle Shanahan finally gets his man.
Kyle Shanahan always gets his man.
Quarterback controversy in San Francisco?
Who was it that posted like the Trey Lance with the in with the Chargers thing? It was like a picture of Jim Harbaugh looking at him like he knows what he's doing. He's grooming a Justin Herbert replacement. It's like, shut up, dork. All right. QB3, Carter Bradley. QB4, Curtis Rourke. More like Curtis Dork, folks. All right.
Yep.
Let's dive in by talking about Walker's least favorite quarterback this side of Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. Purdy got paid this offseason, and a lot of people found themselves losing their mind over it, but it didn't reset the market, and honestly it shouldn't have. He's an above average quarterback and not top, and he didn't deserve top of market money. He got paid the going rate for above average quarterbacks in this league, and he's in the same pay range as Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and the aforementioned Jared Love. Who is Jared Love?
No idea.
Jordan's brother. All right, let's break down Brock Purdy's 2024 campaign. He only played a partial season due to an injury. He missed 2 games. So he averaged 20 completions for 258 yards, 1.3 touchdowns per game, and 0.8 picks per game. That came out to over a 17 game season, 4,379 yards, 23 touchdowns, 14 picks. The 49ers fell apart as bad as humanly possible last season, and Purdy was missing 2 of CMC, Ricky Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings.
That's a basketball player.
He was missing 2 of CMC, Ricky Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle in 13 of his 15 games. And one of the 2 games where he had only Brandon Ayuk out, he lost Christian McCaffrey in the first half of Blizzard in Buffalo. None of these are excuses. They're all just things to say that it went about as poorly as you can expect for Brock Purdy last season. So I was shocked because I thought I saw a stat that Purdy, Kittle, Deebo, Ayuk, and CMC played 57 snaps together. They didn't even play any games together. So like things went about as poorly for the 49ers as they could have last season. I think we can all agree to that. Things just like there were no weapons there. Like he was throwing to freaking Willie Snead at certain points.
You can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that. Despite all of this, he finishes QB10 in fantasy points per game. This is because he continued to push the ball downfield, leveraging George Kittle on top of most of anything else. He ranked 8th in deep ball percentage, 9th in ADOT, and 3rd in yards per pass attempt. He also performed well under pressure, ranking 3rd in pressured catchable pass rate per playerprofiler.com. Unfortunately, Brock Purdy struggled against man, ranking 31st in completion percentage, but dominating against zone, ranking second in QB rating against zone. Man, I'm getting too worked about my Niners, guys. But there's one thing that Brock Purdy added to his game last season that made him a top 10 quarterback. He went from rushing 39 times for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2023 to 66 carries for 323 yards and 5 touchdowns in 2024. That was a part of his game that was present at Iowa State, and given the state of the offensive line, it's likely to stay that way. The 49ers offensive line is bad. It was bad last year, and it got worse by losing Aaron Banks. They did not address it in the draft. I'm very scared of the offensive line. Luckily, Purdy is very mobile. He can throw on the move, so I'm not too worried. Ultimately, there's not a lot to say about Brock Purdy. He's a back-end QB1, and you can quibble whether he's QB8 or QB12, but he's a value pick in fantasy leagues and a cheap stack with Juwan Jennings or Ricky Pearsall in best ball leagues. His ADP is QB10, pick 92 overall. I don't see a lot of upside in that pick. I also don't see a lot of downside in that pick.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him finishing any lower than maybe, well, let's see here. I mean, probably not going to finish outside the top 15, I would say.
Oh, no.
Probably not going to finish inside the top 8.
Nope.
So, yeah, I mean, he's a fringe QB1.
Yeah, because you've got the big four, you've got Burrow. And so for him to finish top 7, he has to beat out everybody that's not those 5 guys. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. With hardly any running. Mike, your thoughts on Brock Purdy?
QB
14? Like I said,
13.
He's a back end QB. I have him at 10. I have him right spot on with consensus. So he's QB 10, pick 92 overall. Brock or Dak?
Brock.
Dak.
BCB or Justin Fields?
I'm gonna go with Purdy.
Purdy.
No, you have to say him by his nickname.
No, I don't.
BCB or Jared Goff?
Goff.
Goof.
Jared Goof. Brock Purdy or Evan Ingram?
Oh shit, he switched it up on me.
Yeah, flip mode. Flip mode is the greatest. That is a reference to a Busta Rhymes song.
I will go with Evan Ingram.
Mike?
It's between who and who?
Purdy and Ingram.
I go with Purdy.
All right. Purdy or Tyrone Tracy?
Purdy.
Tracy.
Purdy or Jaden Reed?
Reed.
Hot topic of conversation in the Discord this week.
He's good.
The idea of Jaden Reed is much better than the execution of Jaden Reed, is my take.
He's good. He's a wide receiver 3, though.
Wait, real life wide receiver 3 or fantasy wide receiver 3?
Fantasy. Real life, he's a wide receiver 2.
Okay, that's correct. Correct, Walker. All right, Mike, Brock Purdy or Jaden Reed?
Jaden Reed.
Correct.
All right. Running backs. RB1, Christian McCaffrey. RB2, Isaac Garendo. RB3, Jordan James. RB4, San Francisco 49ers legend, Amir Abdullah. Let's go, baby. All right. Christian McCaffrey apparently looks like Christian McCaffrey in camp. And if he is Christian McCaffrey, then he has league-winning upside. The 49ers seemingly have no qualms about riding CMC despite his injuries. In 3 full games last season, he averaged 14.3 carries and 5.3 targets per game. And in the half game he played, which was more like a third of a game, he had 7 carries and 3 targets. In those games, he averaged over 100 yards per game. I'm sorry. He averaged over 100 yards per game in the 3 full games that he played. So the 49ers are perfectly fine riding Christian McCaffrey as long as CMC is there. And he will produce for them as long as he is healthy. That's the hard part. Last year, he missed most of the season with double tendonitis in his Achilles tendon. And I think the 49ers took the safe approach, which was as soon as he got hurt again against the Bills, they said, nope, get the fuck out. We're not making the playoffs. You're going back on IR. Get out of here, buddy. And so now he's fully rested. He got some touches last year, so he's not fully, like a full year removed from playing football. So if he's healthy, I feel great about Christian McCaffrey. Let's not forget he's tied the NFL record for consecutive games scoring a touchdown. There isn't much to say about Christian McCaffrey. If he's healthy, if he's healthy, he's a league winner. If he's not, he's a bust. That's pretty much all there is. And, you know, I'm not even a Twitter doctor. I can't tell you if he's healthy or not. He seems to be healthy now. So, I don't know. How do we feel about Christian McCaffrey?
He's my running back 4.
Okay.
I think he's a good pick. I mean, right at that, like, first round fringe, I think, is about where I would expect him to go. I think that bakes in enough of the injury risk while still acknowledging that he's plenty talented enough to be a first round pick.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for him. Mike, what do you think about McCaffrey?
I forget where I put them.
Well, you're just gonna lie about it anyways, like you did Drake London. So,
of course, he says.
All right, let's play. So
Walker, I'm at RB6.
RB6. Wow. So I'm not even gonna ask this because the answers would all be the other guys for Mike: Bijan, Saquon, or Genty. Those are all those guys instead of CMC.
Probably he has Genty at like RB40 because he hates rookies.
That's true, Mike. Rookies. All right, Mike. CMC or Genty at seven.
That's really high for a rookie for Mike. So fair.
Yeah,
enough.
That's huge. That's huge. Walker, who are the three you have ahead of CMC?
Gibbs, Robinson, Genty.
Okay. Robinson?
Bijan?
Oh, Bijan. Why do I always do that? I always forget his last name's Robinson. I'm always sitting here staring at Bijan. Because when I think of Robinson, I'm like, Brian Robinson? Going big on Brian Roberts Robinson. Jesus Christ, I can't talk today. I can't talk. All right. So CMC or Bijan? Walker's answer is Bijan. Mike's is Bijan, CMC, or Saquon. My answer is CMC.
Same.
Not Mike.
What is it?
CMC or Saquon?
Or Saquon?
I have Saquon.
Okay. And then CMC or Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson.
CMC or CeeDee Lamb?
Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, Jeff did his first best ball league. And we took Christian McCaffrey in the first. Let's go, baby.
Okay.
I had pick 8.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it at that point. I think there's like 6 guys I would for sure take over him, but once you get past that, I think I can understand it at that point.
Yeah. I almost took BTJ.
So I can
get the cheap Trevor Lawrence stack later on.
Yeah, that's a fair idea as well.
But I ended up with the Jalen Hurts double stack, AJB and Devonta.
Oh, okay.
I got Baker and Emeka. I got a weird bear stack with Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, and and Luther Burden.
Then there's no way that goes poorly.
Yeah, not at all. No way at all.
No chance the Bears offense is disappointing. That's never
happened before. And Cole Kmet.
I've got the Bears backup tight end, folks. I'm going places.
He was picked 233. What do you want from me? Do you know who I took before him? Jalen Royals.
I mean, you could have took Torrey Horton. He's getting good camp reviews.
I couldn't. That's the thing. He already went.
Ah, well. See,
crazy.
People are on the ball.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Isaac Garendo.
Okay.
He's a handcuff. If Christian McCaffrey is healthy, he doesn't play. In Christian McCaffrey's 3 healthy games, Garendo averaged 7% of the offensive snaps and had 1.6 opportunities per game. But if McCaffrey gets hurt, then Garendo is a blow your fab guy if he's on the waiver wire. Shout out to your fab. Congratulations. He had 5 games last season with over 25% snap share, and in those 4 games, he averaged 13 carries and 2.6 receptions for 100.6 yards per game. So he got a slightly diminished Christian McCaffrey volume. That's all I have to say on Garendo. He's RB47, pick 137 overall. Garendo or Jerome Ford? Silence.
I don't like Garendo's injury history. I'll go with Ford.
Your injury history.
Mike, what's your injury history?
I hurt my pinky once.
Yeah. Don't be like Debo and get all bent out of shape because you revealed that you hurt your finger in August.
I think I'd also go with Ford, but just barely.
All right. Garendo or Bashir Farton?
Any of the farting.
Yeah.
Farting. For folks at home, that's Bashal Tootin. All right. Garendo or Jaden Blue?
Blue
going way too late. Garendo or Trevor Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Garendo or Rashad Badman?
Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman.
Yeah, if you can draft if you're a Bateman fan, you can cut him in week 3 and pick up Guerrero after Bateman goes 1-for-7 and 2-for-13. Nah, he'll go 1-for-7.
Rashad Bateman.
He's not good. He'd be more like 1-for-17, 2-for-35.
I still think it's because Kev really likes him.
No, it's because he's not good. Isaac Guerrero or Kyle Pitts?
Oh.
Guerrero.
Yeah, give me Guerrero.
Look, I like players that Kev likes, like Bucky Irving now.
Yeah, I guess Bucky won him 15K.
Yeah. I went back on Twitter and I just to retweet Kev's clip from, I don't know what it's from, but it's a quote, Bucky Irving is stealing Sean Tucker's job. And it's just the people going, I don't think that's happening, and laughing. So shout out, rubbing it in Kev's face. All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. Wide receiver 1, Brandon Ayuk. He's doing the Woody Harrelson, drying his tears with money to that. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 1. Wide receiver 2, Juwan Jennings. Wide receiver 3, Ricky Pearsall. Wide receiver 4, Jacob Cowing. Wide receiver 5, Robbie Chosen. Wide receivers 1, 2, and 4 are all injured right now. Let's go. All right, Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL and MCL last season, and GM John Lynch expects him to miss at least 4 games this season. They said in an interview he probably starts the season on the PUP. This will mark the second straight offseason where Ayuk had a non-standard time, as his holdout and Ricky on Twitter fueled offseason rumor mill kept him off the practice field for San Francisco until late in the offseason. It caused him all kinds of problems last year, as Ayuk had just 1 game over 50 yards and averaged 3.6 catches for 53 yards per game on 6.7 yard targets per contest. He was just floating around like 48 yards, and then he had 1 big game. But because of his injury, his missing 2 straight off seasons, I'm completely out on Brandon Ayuk at his price. Wide receiver 52. Pick 119 off the board. Brandon Ayuk or Darnell Mooney?
Mooney.
Ayuk or Keon Coleman?
Ayuk.
When I was writing my stuff this weekend, I had NFL Network on the TV and Keon Coleman was on it, and I forgot how charismatic he was. He's my wide receiver 15 now.
He's such a cool guy.
He's so fun. Brandon Ayuk or Rashid Shaheed?
Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk or Zach Charbonnet?
Charbonnet.
Ayuk or Justin Sherbert?
Ayuk.
Agreed, Ayuk.
Ayuk or Tyler Warren?
Ayuk.
All right, Juwan Jennings has a calf injury and is apparently holding in for the 49ers. This calf injury is an aggravation of the calf injury he had in OTAs, which makes me even more concerned. Calf injuries in particular scare the hell out of me, point to the NBA playoffs. They are generally precursors to or indicators of an Achilles injury. With a re-aggravation this far down the line from the initial injury, I feel like this is something that Jennings will deal with all season long. That's unfortunate because he was a beast last season once he broke out for the Niners. Due to working his way up the depth chart, an injury in week 6, and getting into a fight at the beginning of week 18, Jennings only played over 55% of snaps in 11 games last year. In those games, he averaged 8 targets, 5.5 catches, 72.7 yards, and half a touchdown per game, which is a 93 catch, 1,229 yard, 9 touchdown pace. A lot of that was buoyed by a massive breakout game in week 3 against the Rams, where he had 11 catches for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. Even if you strip that game out, he was on a 83 catch, 1,054 yard, 5 touchdown pace. However the game happened, you can't strip it out. His per game pace over the course of a 17 game season comes out to 219.3 PPR points, which would have been wide receiver 19 last season. The 49ers want Jennings to have a big and healthy season, but there are a lot of uncertainties around this wide receiver room, and Jennings just adds to it. He is wide receiver 39, pick 84 off the board. And given his injury, I'm not particularly interested in him. How do you both feel about that?
I agree. I wouldn't pay that price for him.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to roll him and Ricky Pearsall together because their ADP is 6 picks apart and 3 receivers apart. So Ricky Pearsall is, quote, looking like the best wide receiver at 49ers camp, end quote, which means that he's looking better than Jacob Cowing and Andy Isabella, among others, including Robbie Chosen, baby. Initially, I feared that his hamstring injury would put him behind the eight ball in this wide receiver one camp battle with Juwan Jennings. But he is the wide receiver one there and will be to start the season, so there's room for optimism. Unfortunately, he's taking up a small piece of the pie compared to the rest of the 49ers pass catching options. They have two studs outside the wide receiver room to soak up targets in Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, and the target distribution is going to swing their way. In 2023, with a healthy CMC and Kittle, the 49ers targeted wide receivers about 56% of the time. Last year, that number jumped up to 61%. With a natural step back from the wide receivers and the 49ers naturally not throwing the ball that often, I don't foresee two wide receivers having fantasy value this season. Originally, I feared that Pearsall would be the odd one out, but the Jennings injury might force their hand. After recovering from literally getting shot in the chest in a botched robbery, Ricky Pearsall, in his last two games, had 18 targets, 14 receptions, 210 yards, and two touchdowns. He is currently my preferred target in the 49ers wide receiver room. Originally, it was Juwan Jennings, but the calf injury combined with his contract situation has now made me itching. As I said on the Crossing Routes podcast with goated cis white man Herms, whoever got to be the wide receiver one in camp will take the lead, and it's going to be Ricky Pearsall. So, Ricky is wide receiver 42, pick 90 overall. And Pearsall or Jennings?
Pearsall.
Pearsall.
All right, that makes this easy. Pearsall or Debo?
Pearsall.
Pearsall or Diggs?
Pearsall.
Jacoby Myers or gunshot victim Jacoby Myers?
Give me Jacoby Prime.
Jacoby Prime?
Yeah.
Pearsall or Bo Nix?
Bo.
Bo Nix.
Pearsall or Mark Andrews?
Andrews.
Pearsall.
Pearsall, or I promise I didn't do this on purpose because I just noticed it. Ricky Pearsall or Brian Robinson? Two gunshot victims.
Yeah,
funny.
I'm like, I was like, come on, man. Mm-hmm.
Pearsall.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk the tight ends. Let's talk Luke Farrell. Let's talk Ross Dwelly. Or we can talk tight end one, George Dwelly. Kittle. George Kittle played some of his best football last season, finishing as tight end one in PPR points per game on 94 targets, 78 catches, 1,106 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Here's a rundown. He was top 5 in the following stats. ADOT, red zone targets, catchable target rate, and yak. He was first in yards per route run, yards per target, yards per reception, yards per team pass attempt, and fantasy points per route run. He was a high volume, high efficiency beast, and I fully expect that to continue this season, barring injury. There's been nothing but good vibes surrounding George Kittle this offseason, and this is from a team that has nothing but bad vibes everywhere else. He's pretty universally the tight end 3. Do either of you disagree?
Nope. I have him tight end 3.
I have him tight end 4.
Who do you have ahead of him?
Laporta and McBride and Bowers.
Wow. Trying to curry favor with Walker.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh. All right. So let's go. So like I said, pick 32 off the board, but George Kittle or Garrett Wilson?
Ooh. I'd rather go Garrett Wilson.
Wilson.
George Kittle or Jaden Daniels?
Jaden.
Yeah, Daniels.
George Kittle or Kyren Williams?
Williams.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys hate George Kittle.
No.
Okay, so reminder.
32nd overall.
Reminder, George Kittle is pick 32, like Walker just said. Kittle at his price or Brock Bowers at pick 16?
Bowers.
I'd rather wait and go with Kittle.
Kittle at his price or Trey McBride at 23?
Kittle again.
McBride.
Kittle at his price or, Mike, here you go, Laporta at pick 52.
Obviously for Mike, it's Laporta because
yeah,
he's got Laporta head straight up. I think I would take Laporta as well in that scenario.
All right, Kittle at price or Hawk at pick 66?
Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle.
TJ,
TJ Schlockinson.
All right. Check this out. TJ Cockinson, folks.
TJ.
Check this out. TJ Hotua. TJ Hotua, like Tua Tagovailoa. Has anybody ever said that?
You think TJ be spitting on that thing? he's giving it an old TJ.
Oh, folks. All right. Who's going next?
I'll go next, I guess.
All right.
Seems to be the established order. So, the Los Angeles Rams, the team that came closest to vanquishing the eventual Super Bowl champions last year in the playoffs. The team that also has a really old quarterback who has a hurt back right now. So, you know, there's good and bad. We'll start with that quarterback. My old king, Matthew Stafford. Lions legend, of course, and that is said with no sarcasm whatsoever.
Actual Lions legend.
Yeah, real Lions legend. True Lions legend. This is no Casey Fitzsimmons ass. But the unfortunate thing is that because the man's back already hurts and he's old and he can't run, he's not real conducive to picking up fantasy points. He's got to do it all the hard way. By chucking touchdowns from the pocket. And Kyron Williams is probably going to run for at least 10 touchdowns. And Matthew Stafford ain't going to run for any of those touchdowns. So his ceiling is just so limited. He's still a good player, but as a fantasy asset, I think his one quarterback league relevance is done.
I 100% agree. Although I did still project him for one rushing touchdown. I project him for one every year.
I know, in honor of his
the coolest QB play sneak, ever. Yeah,
his QB sneak fake spike. I have Stafford at QB 24 by ADP. He's QB 22. He's currently going 13.06 in a 12-team draft, pick 150.
Okay. I don't see myself taking him in a one quarterback league.
Yeah, I think it's too late, personally. I mean, Mike, do you think that he's a guy you can take as like a second quarterback?
Yeah, barely.
Barely, yeah. Okay, I've got some interesting ones here for you. We're gonna go with first one, Matthew Stafford or Zach Ertz.
I assume this is one QB, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Give me Ertz.
Yeah. Stafford or Quentin Johnston?
Oh, Stafford.
Wow. Yeah, I'll go Stafford.
Okay. Stafford or Brenton Strange?
Give me Strange.
Yeah, I'll go Strange.
Stafford or Camp Darling, Braylon Allen?
Oh, Braylon Allen, 100%. 100,000%. Some are calling him a young David Montgomery.
Yeah, I like Braylon.
Right. And last one, Matthew Stafford or Ray Davis?
Give me that Ray Davis. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Ray Davis.
I agree. Speaking of day three running backs, let's move on to Kyron Williams, eh?
Folks.
That's what we call punt returner. It was kick returns, sir.
Oh, sorry, kick returner.
Get it right.
You can't spell KR or Kyron without KR.
That's right. There you go. You got there.
Ah, the Giants lost.
Yes, they did.
No.
Rodriguez blew it.
No.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous Randy. Derogatory.
Yep. Was very ridiculous tonight.
All right. Well, Kyron Williams, the first player I think I've talked about this whole time in all of these previews that I am identical in terms of positioning. He's going RB12. I have him RB12.
I think I might have him RB12 as well. Hold on, let me check.
I'm also only two off overall. He's going pick 27. I have him at 29. So, I mean, it's so close to be essentially identical.
Walker, completely. running back 12.
There we go.
Let's go,
oh,
baby.
Boy. Kyren Williams, he's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to average a little bit over 4 yards a carry. He's going to run for double-digit touchdowns. He's going to catch some passes, but not very many, and for not very many yards. And he's going to finish as a fringe RB1.
Yeah,
does anybody have any argument with this?
No, I mean, he is the guy there. Like, people are trying to talk themselves into Jarquez Hunter. I don't think that's going to happen.
We did the same thing with Blake Corum last year.
Exactly.
We can't be doing this anymore.
And there, granted, Blake Corum and Jarquez Hunter, two very different backs. But we're not doing this. Kyren Williams is the guy, and he's going to be the guy until he's, like, they're going to run him into the ground. They did it with much worse backs than Kyren Williams. Like, they ran Sham Fakers into the ground.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. He's not the best back in the world, but he's, like, above average to good, and he does the things that they like a running back to do. So there's no reason for them to go away from him. Mike, do you think Kyren Williams is a legitimate starter in the NFL?
You know, there's a lot to say that he wouldn't be, but the way he... thank you, Alexa.
I was going to say, did you get a little robot chiming in there?
Yeah. Alexa always has something to say about things.
Shut up, Alexa.
Yeah, shut up. But he always, for some reason, he always performs. So, I'd have to say yes, but just by looking at him, he doesn't pass eye test at all. They're like Brian Robinson a little bit, where you're just looking at the guy and you're just like, no way is this guy an NFL back, but somehow he is.
Or like what a lot of people think about James Conner.
Oh, yeah, Conner's another good one. Yep.
Yeah. Not me. I don't think that about James Conner.
Yeah, I don't think that either.
A lot of folks are saying. You're hearing it more and more.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, actually.
You're actually hearing it less and less.
You're hearing it this approximately the same amount all the time, which is not that much.
Yeah.
The other running backs in this room, Jarquez Hunter is a speculative third down back that will at best be Samaje Perine. Don't bother. And Blake Corum, we did this last year when he had less competition for the backup job. So also ignore.
I am in agreement.
Bang. Let's go to the wide receivers, unless you want to play a very truncated version of the game. But since we have Kyren Williams at the same spot, I think it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Josh Jacobs feels like a good question.
I would take Jacobs.
Me too. All right, never mind.
Mike, would you take Josh Jacobs or Kyren?
I would take Jacobs.
Boom. Clean sweep. Okay. All right. Clean sweep. So we'll go to the receivers. Wide receiver one, it's Puka. He is a real beast. You simply can't deny it. Target monster, impossible to bring down after the catch, ridiculously strong for his size. Really only two issues with Puka. He doesn't have extreme long speed, and he has occasional injury issues because of his play style. Fortunately for him, I don't project for injuries, and he hasn't had enough of them yet for me to bake it into his projection. So congratulations to wide receiver 4, Puka Nacua, in my projections. He's very good, folks.
Congratulations to Puka Nacua, my wide receiver 4 in projections.
Hell yeah. Mike?
Puka, I have 5.
Okay, yep. Boo! He is pulling. Jeff booing. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. He's going 5. So wide receiver 5, pick 9 overall. Do you think 109 is fair, or do you guys think that's too low or too high?
Let's see. 109. Let me look at.
That's probably fair.
Let's see. So you got Chase, Gibbs, Bijan, CMC. I would probably have him 7, I think.
I also have him at 7.
Yeah. Yeah, 7.
Okay, so yeah, I think it's about right. I mean, because I could see him going a little lower, but I could see him going as high as maybe 5. It's probably the highest I could see drafting him.
Oh, see, okay, so that's a good point, because here's the thing. I'm becoming a best ball sicko. I'm in a best ball slow draft right now, just started. First 3 picks, Chase, Bijan, Saquon. I'm pick 6. I'm not even considering Puka.
No, because you've got Gibbs, Jefferson, and Lamb.
Exactly. I'm going to go either Jefferson or Gibbs, whichever one falls to me. I'm not scared of the hand.
And if neither of them do, then you have CD.
Yeah, exactly. Or no, I'm up in 2 picks. So I'm going to
get. Oh, you're up in 2 picks. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Gibbs exactly. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So that was all.
All right. Quick sidebar there. We are back in the courtroom, and we're going to. Yeah, dun dun. Our next subject, Devontae Adams. I'm going to defend Devontae Adams here. I'm his defense attorney, in fact. And I think Devontae Adams is going to get a lot of targets because he always does. And I think that he works well with Matthew Stafford in the same types of ways that Cooper Kupp worked well with him. He played pretty well last season, largely. Even though he was catching passes from a combination of Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and Aaron Rodgers for the most of his season, and the other guys were even worse. I fully expect him to have over 1,000 yards. I fully expect him to have something in the 130 to 145 target range. As long as he stays healthy, I think he's a top 15 receiver. Do you guys agree with that, or do you think that's too much risk?
I disagree that he's top 15. I have him 12th.
Wow. Okay, 12. I mean, I have him at 13, but you know, top 12 is a bold call.
He might get dropped down if this Matthew. Well, he definitely will get dropped down if this Matthew Stafford thing lingers on. For now, I'm leaving him at 12. Right. He's still got it. Like, you have to factor in that he like. He came over mid-season. That never works out for anybody. And he still played out last year. Like, he still balled out last year. Granted, he's playing with Aaron Rodgers again, but at the same time, it's still, that's a big change. Mid-season trades hardly ever work out for wide receivers.
He went to a team mid-season that had an established wide receiver one and outplayed. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm thinking this is a team that is a highly focused passing game. Like, you know, DeMarcus Robinson had a role. He was the touchdown scorer. Tutu Atwell has a role. He's the deep threat guy. Cooper Kupp was an underneath guy. That can all be Devontae Adams.
Right.
Like, that can all just be Devontae
Adams. Yeah, he's just going to hoover all that.
Yeah, exactly. So my thought on it is it's kind of like you think about, like, what if the Eagles passed more? The whole passing game is two guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
And the whole passing game here is two guys with a little bit to hate crime Higbee. So it's like, yeah, I have Adams and Puka in my top 12.
Yeah, and I almost do. Mike, what do you think? Is it too risky, or do you like him around that edge of the top 12?
Edge? Would you consider wide receiver 14 the edge?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that qualifies. Yeah. So I mean, all very similar. I'll give you 3 questions here. First one's Devontae Adams or Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Devontae Adams.
Devonta.
I would go JSN.
Hmm.
Adams or Tyreek Hill?
Adams.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'll go Hill.
Tyreek Hill is giving me nasty man vibes. He might hit a precipitous drop. He might be my Deontay Johnson quitting on his team ass player of the season.
That would be fun. I would also go Adams and Davante Adams or Ladd McConkey.
Give Ladd. Me Rad Ladd.
Yep, I would also go with Ladd. And the rest of these guys, you don't have to worry about. Tutu Atwell is the only one who even has an ADP, and it's wide receiver 95.
Remember when he was a second round pick?
I do. Remember when they gave him a 1-year, $10 million extension?
I do. My follow up question, do you remember that he wasn't even the second round wide receiver in the NFC West taken that year?
No, it was D. Eskridge, yeah?
Yep.
Boom. Let's go. Western Michigan legend, D. Eskridge.
D. Eskridge. Get that bag.
You can make an argument that D. Eskridge wasn't the biggest bust second round pick taken from Western Michigan in the last 3 years.
Wait, who am I missing?
Sky Moore.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. We need to we need to shut down the Western Michigan receiving room until our lawmakers can figure out what the hell is going on.
Chaos in Kalamazoo.
All right, let's talk about hate crime Higbee.
I don't wanna, man. I hate this guy. I'd like to hate crime him. I'm just kidding.
How about you, ISIS these nuts? I'm sorry, you're much bigger and stronger than me.
Yeah, well, Tyler Higbee's going tight end 28. I think that's entirely adequate spot for him. He shouldn't be drafted. He's going to catch some passes, but I think that he'll get his job eaten into a little bit by Terrence Ferguson, who was a second-round pick and is more athletic than Higbee and a better blocker than Higbee. I think Ferguson will get on the field and will affect Higbee's effectiveness, but I think Higbee will still be the guy who gets a lot more targets. But he's, in my opinion, he's just a DFS guy. I think that's as far as you can go.
I think he's like, if you're in best ball and you get like one of the big guys. You can just wait and take Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, I mean, you could take Higbee and Chigbee for the
Higbee and Chigbee, huh?
Yeah, and they're gonna go to Jollibee for dinner.
Oh damn, they're getting that Filipino food. I don't. Something tells me Tyler Higbee wouldn't go for that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Tyler Higbee at Jollibee, and what would that look like?
I think it would go a little something like this, and then it's just inarticulate.
We're not going to do that. Noises. We are not going to do that. We're not going there. Tyler Higbee, bad fantasy option, worst guy. Mike, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree.
Let's go. Fuck Tyler Higbee. I have no idea anything about him personally, which makes him infinitely better than Tyler Higbee. Let's go. he's big and fast and strong, and he could use a little bit of being taught how to play football, but I do think he has more ceiling than Higbee. But this season is almost assuredly not going to be anything for fantasy for him, so don't worry about it.
So I Googled Tyler Higbee cool ? Not Tyler Higbee, Terrence Ferguson cool ? He's tattooing his body from left to right.
Like a book?
Yeah. Ferguson's left leg and arms are tattooed, but his right side remains bare. So he's tattooing his body from left to right. And that's all that there is. So he just seems
the most OCD shit I've ever heard in my life.
He just and seems I, like,
and I am diagnosed OCD, and that is the most OCD shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, he just seems like he's football man. Not a thought behind. Yeah, he's just football man.
Okay, so he's a dork. Fine, that works for me.
He's also certified ginger.
Certified ginger meathead. We'll take it.
Yeah. But second coolest tattoo tight end in this draft. So Old Tommy Fidone. Tommy Fidone. Check out his Fidone. Instagram.
Oh, Fidone.
I posted a picture from his Instagram in the Discord, and I had to go back and edit it and put a not safe for work tag on.
Oh, shit.
he tattooed on one of his teammates. The bottom half was a T-Rex, and the top half was a penis.
Oh, jeez.
Did the penis have little T-Rex arms?
I don't remember. I'm looking it up right now.
Because if it did, that's fantastic. And it has to be. And it has to be the episode image if it does.
But it can't.
I know. That's the thing. That's the thing. It's forbidden episode image. I want what I can't have.
Forbidden episode image. Oh, man. All right. That's all I know. That's not even about Terrence Ferguson. That's about Tommy Fidone.
Yeah. So final thing I have to say, we got a challenger for the big Ferg throne.
Uh-oh.
Terrence Ferguson, he's coming for Jake. I think, and with as many tattoos as he has in comparison to Jake Ferguson, I'm thinking that Terrence might be the new ASAP Ferg.
Oh, wow. Is this allowed?
I think we're going to going forward. I'm decreeing that Terrence is ASAP Ferg and Jake is Big Ferg.
Jake is Big Ferg. Terrence is ASAP Ferg. Got yes. it. What about ASAP Ferg and when you get to it, Ferg?
No. And no? That is all on the Rams.
Okay, perfect. All right, Mike. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. But first, I would like to everybody to turn their attention to the chat.
Oh, boy. I'd like to see attachment. No. No. It says raw right up.
Oh, all right, Mike. The Arizona Cardinals.
I don't know how to do all that, so I can't see what you're...
Oh man, don't worry.
There's
Mike.
There's a little like message chat bubble thing that's right above right in the top right corner of your FA podcast recording channel screen, I think.
Oh, I see.
If you click on that, you should see a penis tattooed on a guy.
Oh yes. What the fuck?
It's so bad, right?
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Why that penisaur is double cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon? Also,
yeah, it's got some haunches. All right, god, Mike.
It's so bad, man.
If you can focus right. After that,
right? Now I just see little penises running around my screen.
Well, Mike, close your pop up ads.
Yeah. Okay, so the Arizona Cardinals. All right, so let's go. Jonathan Gannon returns for his third head coaching season for the Cardinals. Third year coordinator Drew Petzing also comes back. Arizona ranked seventh in rushing yards with 18 touchdowns, 17 runs of 20 yards or more. The Cardinals passed for 3,850 yards, which was 21st, but delivered only 21 touchdowns with 11 picks. Their offensive line gave up 30 sacks. Arizona finished 7th in completion rate and 16th in yards per pass attempt. So, Kyler Murray finished as the QB10 and started every game for the first time since 2020. His numbers were middle of the road as he passed for 3,851 yards and 21 touchdowns. Murray's accuracy looks good. His on-target and completion percentages both ranked 7th in the league. But considering his average target depth with only 7.1 yards was 30th. He averaged a career best 7.3 yards per carry, resulting in his highest output while rushing for 572 yards and 5 touchdowns since 2020. But he ran less than ever, posting a career-low 4.6 rushing attempts per game. Murray threw multiple touchdowns in a game just 3 times, and he needed 4 touchdowns in Week 18 just to surpass 20. for the season. Over his 6 seasons in the NFL, Murray has underachieved in passing touchdowns 1.4 per game, putting him in the league average. His size and injury history will always concern owners, but Murray retains top 10 fantasy appeal due to his dual threat skill set. So
yeah, that touchdown statistic really shocked me, and I had him on my fantasy team. I had him in my, I guess maybe because it was 2 QB, I just kind of looked past it. But that's really shocking that he's just like not scoring touchdowns. I guess a lot of that. Let me ask Mike, do you see that changing because of the Trey McBride possible touchdown regression?
Yeah, and he just doesn't have a lot of weapons either. If we think about it, I mean, Marvin Harrison was a rookie last year, and then he'll be second year. But who else is he going to be throwing to? Greg Dortch. You know, there's not much weapon wise. And as you mentioned with Trey McBride, he's not much of a touchdown scorer either, even though he has great size. So, I don't see him putting up, you know, a year where he's just going to blow the statistics away in touchdowns.
That's fair enough. All right, I was just curious.
So let's see if I can play this game too. Okay,
Mike's playing the game.
Bo Nix or Kyler Murray?
I'm getting a boner.
All right, but that doesn't answer the question, Walker.
Oh, I'm going with Bo Nix. Sorry.
Oh, okay. God, they're the same tier for me. I'll go Bo Nix. I'm feeling. I'm checking to see if my ranks reflect that, but I'm feeling better vibes out of.
Justin Fields or Kyler Murray?
I'll go Kyler.
I'll go Kyler.
And then one more, Jared Goff or Kyler Murray?
Give me...
So close for me.
I know. Give me... Hold on. Do I have any coins? Give me Kyler Murray.
I'm going to answer this by relaying an anecdote. The other day, I think it was yesterday, saw an Instagram ad, just like 8 seconds long. It's for Old Spice, and it's Isaiah Mustafa, the I'm on a horse guy, and Jared Goff. And Jared's holding up his Goff the Chain deodorant.
Okay.
Very funny. And he says, smells like driftwood. And Isaiah tells him a little higher, as in to hold it up higher. And he goes, smells like driftwood.
That completely just like cut out.
smells like driftwood.
There you go.
Okay. I think I peaked the mic on accident.
Yeah, yeah you did.
Yeah. So it's going to be Jared Goff because he's funny.
There you go. Perfect. But looks aren't everything, folks, because he's a goofy looking guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, Mike, continue.
So the running backs, James Conner finished as RB10. It helped that he played 16 games last season, as he has been a durability risk throughout his career. However, last season he set career highs in games played, carries, receptions, rushing yards, and receiving yards. Tallied 9 touchdowns, marking the 4th consecutive year in which he scored at least 8 times. He maintained a healthy lead in touches over the backup Trey Benson, 283-69.
Nice.
Yeah. There are underlying concerns relating to health and age, of course, with Connor, who still has never appeared in every game in his 8 NFL campaigns while turning 30 during the offseason. However, he should still be in the top 20 of running backs with his strong per-play production, both as a runner and a receiver. Trey Benson finishes RB66 and was more of a backup than a compliment as a rookie. What makes Benson interesting as a prospect was his unusual combination of speed and size. With his 69 combined touches barely outpacing
Nice.
outpacing unheralded veterans Amari DiMercato and Michael Carter. However, he has the aging Connor ahead of him, and when he's on the field, he matched Connor at 4.6 yards per carry on his 63 totes, but he was minimally involved as a pass catcher with 6 catches for 59 yards. If Benson has improved, he could still bump his production by claiming many of the 86 combined touches that Carter and DiMercato had last year.
So. I actually like, if you watch Trey Benson, there's like a switch that flips in him in the, I think it was the Miami game, like week 10. You watch him before that game, and he just like, he runs into the line, his vision is bad. He's very like DeAndre Swiftian. And then once, like after that game, he really like picks it up. His vision gets a lot better. He can see the pile, you know, collapsing in front of him. He can bounce it outside. He got a little bit, he got better in the second half. It felt like the game slowed. So I think there is a little bit of upside for Trey Benson, but it's like, I'm not drafting his ass.
I'm not picking him either. Not unless he just happens to fall because somebody like draft board just falls that way and he ends up like a round and a half later than usual, then maybe sure. But I think people who are pro Trey Benson are really assuming that if James Conner goes down, they're just going to give the whole backfield to Benson. And we don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Like, he'll get the biggest piece of the pie, but is he going to get the James Conner role? I doubt that.
And we also don't know, like, if he can handle that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's like, yeah, he's a handcuff, but not a particularly exciting.
I agree.
All right, Mike.
Okay.
We're going to talk Amari DiMercato? Michael Carter?
No.
Okay.
No. DiMercato's. But I will ask you, James Conner or Omarion Hampton?
Hampton, baby. I'm all in. Call me Wasps in New York City because I'm all in the Hamptons.
I'll go Hampton as well.
Conner or Joe Mixon?
Conner. Joe Mixon. Hurt.
Joe Mixon. Give me James Conner.
And James Conner or Chuba Hubbard?
James Conner's a better football player.
Wow. Oh my God. He did it.
I mean, I like both of those guys, but I mean, we can be honest about who's better.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Marvin Harrison, wide receiver.
That's correct.
Yes, he is. He finished as the wide receiver 25, but overall his season was disappointing as he fell behind rookies Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, and Ladd McConkey, even though he was picked ahead of them. However, he is a great route runner, and his 8 touchdowns tied for 12th most among wide receivers. But there was more frustration than success. He was wildly inconsistent. He had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns in his second NFL game, and followed that up with TDs in each of his next 2 weeks. However, from weeks 5 through 17, he scored only 3 times.
Ew.
But then finished strong by catching 11 of 16 targets for 159 yards and a touchdown. Harrison packed on muscle this offseason, reportedly getting up to 220 pounds. Instead, he hopes to become more of a threat post-catch. After averaging just 2.6 yards per catch per... What? 2.6 per reception. Yards per reception. I don't know what I did there.
Oh, is it 2.6 yards after the catch per reception?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. sounds like Grammarly got your ass.
Yeah, totally. Even though he was wildly consistent, he remains the clear top target on the outside and a critical part of the offense. And his only true competitor for targets is Trey McBride. I didn't do any of the other wide receivers because they're not worth drafting.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I mean, I have Michael Wilson at what, wide receiver like 60-ish, but like, who cares about that, really?
And Michael Wilson got put in concussion protocol yesterday.
Great. Okay. Wonderful.
Oh, that means it's scorch time.
Yeah, we're scorching. We're scorching. We're torching. And I just, yeah, I mean, Harrison is the receiver to draft here if you're going to draft one. I don't expect a huge bump up from wide receiver 25, but it should be better than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have, well, let's see, let's check my rankings. I currently have, I have Marvin Harrison at 23, just kind of banking on volume and Drew Petzing figuring it out. Giving him a little bit of a bump this year, but I don't see, he's in a range, like, I'm not going to draft. But, like, I'm four spots off of consensus on him at the position. He's in a range of guys, Garrett Wilson, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, Marvin Harrison. I don't see myself drafting any of those guys. I'm below consensus on all of them. So, you know, and I have Rashee Rice and Jerry Jeudy ahead of them that I'm ahead of consensus on. So this is a range of guys I'm just never going to take.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
Marvin Harrison. Oh, I'm sorry, Walker. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Marvin Harrison or Mike Evans?
Oh, Mike Evans. Country Mile. Mike. Country Mile.
I don't think it's Country Mile, but I'd go with Evans. Yes.
Marvin Harrison, Garrett Wilson.
Wilson.
Give me, yeah, I have Wilson ahead.
And then Marvin Harrison, Terry McLaurin.
Harrison.
Give me McLaurin. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, big time. And finally, tight end. And that leads us to Trey McBride. He finished as a tight end 5. As his 111 catches and 1,146 receiving yards in 2024 were second most among tight ends behind only Brock Bowers. The lone drawback in 2024 was a lack of receiving touchdowns. Despite ranking second in the NFL with 22 red zone targets among tight ends, only Bowers has a similar volume ceiling. McBride, 147 targets last year, being the 6th highest total among tight ends over the past 12 seasons. The lack of touchdowns is frustrating, but that can turn around in a moment's notice, especially with as many targets as he gets, and his 6'4", 246-pound frame is not prohibitive.
I think McBride will have some positive touchdown regression this year, but he's never really been a guy who catches a lot of touchdowns. Even in college, he didn't catch touchdowns. So he's a damn good player. Really, really good. And he's going to get so many targets in this offense. I still think he'll probably lead the offense in targets. But I just don't see the upside that there is with Bowers.
He's my tight end 1. Touchdown regression. No target competition. Bowers added Genty, Besh, whatever you would think about Besh, Thornton. Granted, Geno's a better passer, but this is an offense that in Las Vegas that I think it's going to be a ball control offense. It's Pete Carroll. I get that it's Chip Kelly, but we talked about on the Raiders episode about how, on the AFC West episode, how Chip Kelly slowed the ball down a lot. And so I think that the Cardinals are going to be chasing negative game scripts a lot, which means a lot more targets overall, which I also think means a lot more targets for Trey McBride. I also think positive touchdown regression is going to be pretty significant for McBride this year because he had a lot of end zone targets. I think he was 3rd in the league in end zone targets and had 1 touchdown. So I see that positive touchdown regression for McBride. But honestly, I'm just a guy. If you want to go with Brock Bowers, go with Brock Bowers. I have them 1A, 1B. I think like 0.05 points per game off or some shit like that. So Personally, I'm going to trade McBride.
I know your main argument is just that McBride's cheaper, so draft him.
Well, no, I mean, I have him ranked higher.
Well, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, you don't have to draft Trey McBride at, like, 110. It's just you think the value is a lot better, obviously.
Yeah, like Walker, like you posted, eat this, not that.
Yeah, that's, and I disagree on this one, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. See, folks, we're not going to yell at each other like Alvin Kamara.
I don't think we even got to yelling on that, to be honest.
No, it was just like, this is my point. This is my point. This is my point.
Voice raised 1/8.
All right. That's it for the Cardinals. All right. Who got a sham?
What? You cut out.
Oh, I said, who got Sham Darnold? Who's getting the
quarterback? Oh, in I have Seattle. Sham Darnold.
All right. Kick it.
Kick it. Boom, boom, boom. Sam Darnold finishes the QB7 for the Minnesota Vikings. Seattle Seahawks liked him so much that they signed him to a 3-year deal worth just a shade over $100 million. This is a surprising event for Darnold after being a backup just 2 years ago in San Francisco and flaming out earlier in his career. However, after an injury to J.J. McCarthy, Darnold would throw for 4,139 yards, 35 touchdowns, and just 12 interceptions. Darnold was excellent throwing deep, leading the league with 46.7 completion percentage and 9 touchdowns on attempts of 20-plus yards. Unfortunately, he played poorly in the final 2 games, which put him in Seattle. He will lose the talent of Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson. In replace, he'll have Jackson Smith, Njigba, and Cooper Kupp. While having a balanced attack. Seattle threw the ball 593 times last year, 7th most in the league. Darnold also struggled under pressure, and Seattle's offensive line is weak. But he will team up with Clint Kubiak, with whom he worked with in San Francisco. At best, consider Darnold a low-end QB2.
Yeah, I think that we saw, so the Seahawks have a bad offensive line. And we saw what happened last year when the when injuries decimated the Vikings offensive line. The games went poorly for Sam Darnold. So I'm with Mike here. I think he takes a huge step back. Like, I think that we're going to see Sam Darnold of old. Not quite Panther Sam Darnold. I mean, not quite Jet Sam Darnold, but maybe Panther Sam Darnold, who was
Panther Sam Darnold, where he was like, he was clearly better, but he still wasn't good.
Yeah, he was perfectly cromulent. So, I have Sam Darnold at QB 28.
Whoa, Jesus. I have him at 21.
I don't believe in him. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really either, but I think he'll start all year. So, yeah, I mean, 21, tier 6 of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there is the thing that they were talking. One of the things I remember, I was looking into it. They said that they're going to have packages for Jalen Milroe, which, Mike, I don't know if you're going to talk about Milroe.
No.
Okay, so rookie Jalen Milroe, they said he's going to get about, their goal is to get him like 10% of the plays. So that's what, like 6 plays per game? That's enough for me to bump him all the way down, because those are going to be goal line packages probably, which is going to take away from his time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't care for him this year either. I think there has been a good course correction by the market, but I don't think it's even gone necessarily far enough. It's going to be more condensed, I feel like, with Seattle's fantasy production this year.
Yeah. All right, let's talk wide receivers.
Okay.
All right, I got to get my notes up. All right. Wide receiver 1, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Nailed it. Wide receiver 2, Cooper Kupp. Wide receiver 3, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Wide receiver 4, Torrey Horton. Wide receiver 5, quirked out white boy, Jink, honking on that Bobo. All right, so this is how it breaks down. MVS is the deep threat, and their intermediate threat is going to be tied to Oyo after they dumped Noah Fant to waivers. So let's look at the 2 short area targets offense. both had an A dot under 10 last year. Last season, 34 quarterbacks attempted at least 250 passes. Darnold ranked 29th in the rate of pass attempts that traveled under 10 yards downfield at 55%. Former Seahawk Geno Smith ranked 10th at 63%. So the Seahawks likely went from Geno to Darnold to get more verticality. They added MVS and drafted Elijah Arroyo to add credence to this idea. Torrey Horton. While more verticality will help open up the underneath for JSN, they added Cooper Kupp to this offense. Well, Cooper Kupp is more name than game at this point. Oh my God, I didn't write about JSN at all. Oh my God. Anyways, I screwed up. Well, Cooper Kupp is more name than game at this point. He works the same area of the field. Kupp's 2024 ADOT was 8 yards down, 9. So we're going to have the underneath area likely target volume and getting more crowded. With JSN dominating a possession, this could see him with a slight downturn in targets in 2025 compared to 2024, as both draw targets in the same area. This would drop him slightly down a tier, that being JSN. Cooper Kupp, as I already said, is more game, but he's still one of the most sure-handed receivers, garnering one drop on his likely Sam Darnold. He hasn't been himself in three seasons. Injuries a lot from him. He played 9, 12, and 12 games across years, but on a 17-game pace, he still had a lot to offer. Kupp paced out to 151 targets, 103 receptions, 1,164 yards, and 11 touchdowns with the Rams. Granted, he will play a smaller role on the Seahawks, but through his first 9 games of 2024, he was still at 7 catches for 73. The last 3 games of the 2024 season for the Rams are why people point to fading Cooper Kupp. He didn't look the same. The Rams shifted their focus down the stretch to a more ground and pound approach, emphasizing defensive battles. In Kupp's first 9 games last season, the Rams averaged 24 points per game and 25 rush attempts. In the 3 where they sidelined Kupp, they averaged 15 points per game and 30 rush attempts. So it was a change in focus for the Rams, more so than a change in target volume going Cooper Kupp's way. Unfortunately, there is a glaring red flag in Cooper Kupp's profile. His 29.7% win rate against man coverage 30th per playerprofile.com. And this was a huge step down from his 44.8% in 2023, which ranked 16th. But in 2022, he was at 31%. So it could be nothing, but then again, it could be something. I have Cooper Kupp. I know I'm higher than consensus Kupp, but every day that I think of it, I feel like I'm moving him down more. I move Cooper Kupp down to wide receiver 34 ahead of Stephon Diggs, Juwan Jennings, and Cooper Kupp or Stephon Diggs?
Diggs.
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp or Juwan Jennings?
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp or Jordan Addison?
Addison.
All right, let's talk a little bit on the fly about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So JSN broke out last season after a pretty good rookie campaign. He finished last year with 100 catches, 1,130 yards, 6 touchdowns. As I mentioned, he has an A-dot 10. He is a possession receiver. He is one of the better he was just the spam underneath guy for the Seahawks. It was very fruitful for him last year, but I do see... with Cooper Kupp taking over that area of the field as well. I do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba 4 spots lower than consensus at wide receiver. I have him at wide receiver 15. Although with my Tyreek Hill bad man vibes, it's probably going to drop Tyreek Hill down and move JSN up. But I personally can't see him moving past T. Higgins, Mike Evans, and Devontae Adams, just because those 3 guys offer a little bit more downfield than JSN does, and a little bit more in the touchdown department, which is Kenneth Walker's territory. So I think JSN is going to fit basically like Rashee Rice will in Kansas City. A lot of short area volume, a lot of targets, but ultimately I think that lack of touchdown scoring will hold him back. So that's where I have JSN ranked. JSN or T. Higgins?
JSN.
JSN, yeah.
JSN or Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek.
JSN.
JSN or Mike Evans?
JSN.
JSN.
JSN or Devontae?
JSN.
JSN.
All right. Let's talk about Torrey Horton, shall we? He's a deep threat.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah. He's a good ball tracker downfield. He's better than MVS. Obviously he's a rookie, so it might not show this year, but I think he's a good zone beater, a good deep threat who doesn't have a lot of versatility. Great ball tracker, and all they need to do to neutralize him, unfortunately, is to jam him on the line, because he cannot handle that at all. He has so much working against him that I wouldn't count on sustained success from Horton outside of flashes here or there. He's going up against certified target hogs in JSN and Cooper Kupp in Sam Darnold's passing game. I have more interest in the Horton who hears a who, folks. All right, I'm done. I cede my time. Let's talk running backs.
Wow, very nice.
Thank you.
I mean, one of these guys is my favorite. Kenneth Walker, one of my favorites. Spartan Dog. He is a very good player who gets miscast because he has a lot of negative runs behind a terrible offensive line. There was also the whole he can't catch thing, which we've made fun of like 3 million times.
In retrospect, incredibly funny.
Yeah, very, very funny panic that everybody had that he wasn't going to be able to do a thing that nobody asked him to do in college.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, he's going to get over 200, but less than 250 carries, most likely, which will put him around 1,000 yards rushing. Probably going to get like 3 targets a game or so as well. Pretty much makes him... He's a rock solid RB2 with potential like back end RB1 upside if touchdowns go the right way. I would say around, you know, RB15 ish is where he should be going. That's his ADP currently, so I feel like that's fair. Do you guys think that's too high or too low?
What is it again? I'm sorry.
15.
Wide receiver 15.
Running back 15.
I'm sorry, RB 15. That's about where I have him. I have him at 15.
There you go.
Mike, I think that's fair.
I'm sorry. Okay, thanks, Jeff.
I agree. I think that's fair.
Okay. And then we'll go on to Mike's favorite, Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah.
Who I have at double 15. We're going running back 30 here. He will likely get something around 8 or 9 carries a game. He'll also get about 3 targets a game. So that means that's double-digit opportunities. He will score a few touchdowns here and there. He's a good pass catcher and pass blocker, and they trust Charbonnet not to fumble the ball. So he will have a role on this team. He is the 1B to Kenneth Walker's 1A, and those roles are pretty set in stone, but... He will have standalone value as a flex player. I teased this last week, but my take on the Seattle backfield this year is that this is the Bucky Irving Rashad White backfield this year, where Charbonnet is the Rashad White who has standalone value sometimes, but isn't super efficient, and then Walker doesn't necessarily get quite the touch load that people want, but his explosiveness vaults him into an efficiency fueled season.
Yeah, you don't want to be explosive on a low touch load, folks.
I didn't mean to do that either.
Neither
I didn't
did
mean
he.
To be explosive on my low touch load.
Oh my god. Let's see, where do I have Charbs? I have Charbonnet at 37.
A little low.
He might bump up. There's some stuff I'm waiting for, some news about, like, a difference between Scataboo and Tracy. I have them together, but one's going to separate. Jordan Mason, I probably got to drop down. So he's probably going to be like 35 ish when all is said and done for me. I don't know. I just feel like that's the appropriate range for like a PPR back. I'm just not as bullish on the upside that you have, Walker. I don't see them having like 2 top 20 running backs.
Oh, I don't think that. I don't think Charbonnet is going to be top 20. To be clear, right. I think his best case scenario, as long, you know, projecting health for most players, is that he ends up getting like RB 23.
Yeah, sure.
Like he could sneak into the top 24, but unless Kenneth gets hurt, I don't see top 20 ceiling, no. And I like him, but I don't see that ceiling.
Okay. Well, you can have him.
Thank you. I'll take him.
I'll be drafting Cam Scataboo.
Mike, would you rather have Rio Linda's finest or U of M's finest?
U of M finest, of course.
Boo!
Boom. Got him.
Mike's a traitor to Sacramento.
I think he's okay with that.
Alrighty. Is that it? Are we done? Did we do it?
Yeah. Kenny McIntosh. There, I mentioned him.
Yes. An apple away keeps the Macintosh. No, wait, an apple a day keeps the Macintosh away. We did it, everybody.
A Macintosh a day keeps the doctor away. Shout out to Wrong Opinion Man. That's why I mentioned Kenny McIntosh.
Ron, why? Well, God, what did he do?
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought he was the man with the wrong. I thought he was.
No,
the wrong
no. Opinion wrong man. Opinion Man is my friend on Blue Sky.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. I was like, God, what did he say now? All right. We will be back next week. That's it for this episode. We'll be back to talk the NFC North. We're talking Bears. We're talking Packers. We're talking Vikings and nobody else.
And I'm talking Lions.
And I'll be there too. All right. It's me. So that one I'll probably be recording Wednesday next week. I am going to the expo, folks. I'm going to be going to Canton. I'm going to be seeing a bunch of my nerdy friends from the computer. Goated cis white man Herms. Hopefully a little drop play Dave, a little Nate Polvote. Wyatt's going to be there.
Go see Ariel if she's there.
Ariel might be there. I don't know if Lindell's going to be there. It'll be fun. We'll be back next week. Sean Foss, let's go. All right. So for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Yo.